La fille de joie est belle au coin de la rue là-bas. Elle a une clientèle qui lui remplit son bas. Quand son boulot s'achève, elle s'éleva à son tour, chercher un peu de rêve dans un bal du Hambourg. Son homme est un artiste.
That sound is the one and only Christine Andreas, who is literally debuting her thrilling new album, Pia, No Regrets. And that is all predicated on Christine's one-woman show, which, of course, garnered raves. And we were talking earlier about when I had talked on the air, and both of us were like starting, I think, because I first talked to Madam here in My Fair Lady, and then Oklahoma, then On Your Toes, mm-hmm. La Cage, The Light in the Piazza, you name it. But always this spectacular voice. You know, I saw you in The Scarlet Pimpernel.
You did.
So, you know, you've done so much, but Pia is really, where did she come into your life?
She just plagued me. She haunted me. She wouldn't leave me alone.
One of the great singers and souls.
Did you ever see her live? Did you ever see her?
Once.
You saw her live?
I saw her live, once.
What, did she fill the room, her sound? Did it like go right through you?
It was beyond thrilling because it was exhilarating, it was painful, it was everything.
You felt what she felt.
Of course, and that was, she could reduce you to tears and you would say, why?
Yeah.
Because she was so gifted.
Well,
but
I can tell you why. She could do that because she made a choice. I mean, she experienced everything, right, in life. Everything you can experience emotionally. They were all her choices. She's not a victim. She chose a very crazy life. But she took all that craziness and she put it into the music. She injected everything into it. So it was totally, and it wasn't egoic. It was just she channeled her life in her music. And so you got the force of her life force when she sang. And some singers choose to do that and many don't. And when she started haunting me, I went, yeah, it's a good idea. Because at this stage of the game in my singing, that's what I want to do too. I don't want to mess around with, this is a pretty sound and this is a pretty sound. I want my life in my singing. I want everything I felt. And it's in a way, it's very cleansing to sing that way. And it keeps you in touch with yourself, and it keeps you sober emotionally, you know, so you can't really get too full of it. It's very grounding, and I need to be grounded as I age.
Well,
you know,
but when you first heard that sound, were you in Europe? Was it in France? Was it here?
I don't remember. It's so long ago. I always sang in French something, and je ne parle pas le français. I don't speak.
But
I hear the music and the language, and when I first heard it, I remember I was with the New Christie Minstrels in 1970, singing around the country. It was a great gig being a young artist and singing, you know, for audiences and all. And it was, you know, during Vietnam War, we would go to army bases. We would play also the big rooms in Vegas, the Sahara. We played Reno. Mm. It was great. And I remember I took him, I sang a Love Story in French. That was a big song at the time.
Yeah.
And we went to Montreal. And I sang a little bit in English and a little bit in French. And I remember it was the first time I felt prejudiced because they didn't like people singing anything or doing anything in English. Anyway, so French has sort of been by my side. And Paris is my husband. I'm married to a composer, Marty Silvestri, and it's his favorite city. So I've been there
Why
a lot.
Why not, right? It's hard to resist
Paris. Oh, it's beautiful. And so, and their way of seeing things, I listened to some French pop music with another husband years ago, and their sensibility is so peculiar and funny and dry and very sophisticated. So I don't know, it's been around. And then I think Piaf's 100th centennial was just 3 years ago, when her birthday was the 10th. No, not her birthday. The celebration of her death was October 10. So she was like in the ether. She's just been around on my shoulder. And so this whole time I've been writing this show, I could feel her like on my shoulder going.
Waiting.
No, she's going, no, 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 no. No, that's not it. No, peh, peh. And then I'd write something. She goes, yeah, oui, oui, yeah, bon.
So you really channeled her.
I felt, you know, it wasn't like an exact voice, but I've always been a little open to that kind of thing anyway. I've been haunted by a number of people, and I'm happily haunted by her because she's so iconic and mythic, and I think that her artistry is something that's important right now.
Do you think when you channeled her and she really became part of you, and I'm talking to Christiane Andreas, who's got a brand new Piaf, No Regrets, and had her own one-woman show, but really got this woman. And I used to wonder, she was like a tiny little
teeny,
bird.
4'8".
Right? And this sound would come out of her.
Yeah.
And you couldn't believe how that sound on this tiny person could fill every space, including your own head.
Well, she filled her own body. And the body, you think of it like a big open, like a big bass fiddle, like something like an empty chamber. And she wasn't in the way of sound. And so that, and she also started on the streets. You know, she had nothing.
Yeah,
if she didn't get a crowd, well, yeah.
To the audience, he was this soul, which definitely chose a complicated lifestyle, and would sing on the streets.
No, would had to.
And ultimately became a very famous person.
She was the daughter of street performers, so it was sort of in her blood. Her dad was an acrobat contortionist. Her mom was a singer / alcoholic / drug
right,
addict.
Tough growing up.
And she abandoned Piaf at birth, practically. So Piaf had a mother wound her whole life. And she also had many, many, many lovers, but part of that was to fill in that
right, always looking.
Gap, you know? And she really, I demystify a lot of the tragique about her in my show because she's so much greater than that. And there's a wonderful biography by Carolyn Burke on her called No Regrets. And she said, you know, when you have so much hype, it thins the texture of a real life. It thins the whole texture, and it's true. You get all caught up in the sensational, but the actual woman, you know, she put a lot of obstacles in her way for whatever crazy reason, but she was just a phenomenal soul. So her voice filled, the sound filled this empty cavity that was her body, and it created a harmonic. It created overtones. It was like the sound would go through you. This is what people talked about. Because when they talk about her, like, you know, I listened to lots of interviews of people speaking about her after she had passed, people who had known her. And I had never seen, it was really marked, these BBC documentaries, the way they would talk about her. And I say this in my show, was like a very raw, visceral way. It was very important that when they talked about her, you got who she was. It
right.
was important to them. And so they would go, Piaf, she was. And then they would say many things. And then it wasn't enough. They had to say, they'd go, Piaf, she was, Piaf. They like her name when they couldn't
exactly
say anything more.
Was enough.
The name had the magic, you know. So somebody, and she was a voice of a country. She was the voice of France. I mean, who's like that now?
No, no.
Who made such an overwhelming impression on you? So she had that kind of power and magic. And, you know, now when things are so ego-driven, especially in celebrity and all the craziness
right.
of that, and everybody wants to be a star, and if you have a little bit of a nice sound and are pretty and you get on The Voice
and
or
you
something,
amp it up.
And you think, and you know, when you hire somebody, you just think, well, everybody should be adoring me now, but artistry. True artistry.
No, that's
another road, you know.
That was unique, and that's why people like Piaf survive forever, and why someone like you would take this.
I want it.
And exactly. Was she, with all the tragedy in her life and the accomplishment and the stardom, do you ever find her happy?
All the time. That's the thing. I mean, you know, when you just go on the surface and hear people who don't really know, I mean, the people that even know that who she is, a lot of people don't know who she was here
well,
in the United States.
Well, of course, because time has gone on.
And the younger generation doesn't know who Doris Day was, so, you know, or even Judy Garland. So, you know, you go on and
Elizabeth
on.
Elizabeth Taylor.
I know. It's so funny. Now I'm old. You know, I go out and talk to babies. I do a concert, and then I do a seminar with kids. And, you know, I say, do we know who she is? And a lot don't. And that's an opportunity to say, okay, well then, and I asked actually my last one in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I said, let me know if this resonates with you. I need to know because I'm just beginning this tour of her I want to know. And they all were blown away. And they all said, well, we're going to like go follow up and listen to Edith Piaf. But she had tremendous gaiety. These, again, the friends who knew her, closest friends, and I say this right at the top of the show, say, I'm here to disembellish all these myths, many of which she perpetrated herself.
Right.
You know, she put it out there, all this
crap.
It's
part of the mystery.
She thought she had to pump up a life that was already so over the top. I don't get it. But that's the insecurity, I guess, of a mother wound. You know, she just had to do it. So I'm there to sort of set the record straight. And she had continual laughter and gaiety and warmth. She was also incredibly bossy. And, you know, if she ate foie gras, the whole room had to have it because she liked it. If she put her feet up, you had to put, whatever she did that gave her pleasure, everybody had to do what she did. So she was insane, but she must have just had such a power and a charisma that you willingly did it.
And she was a star. I mean, as you said, we have a lot of stars, but it's not like that.
But she did it from the streets.
Exactly.
If she didn't sing well, if she didn't, that's why she also was loud, she didn't have a bed for the night. I mean, what does that do for you? At 15, she was out on her own, on the streets. You know, that was her training. So she appreciated what it took, everything it took to maintain. And she also did her own PR. She was a real modern woman. She wasn't like this old lady who would now be 103.
Exactly.
She would never age, you know, because she just always changed with the time.
And you can hear her through Christine Andreas, who is not going to let her age and is going to keep her as one of the most powerful forces.
Thank you,
and
Tim.
It's available now everywhere. So go buy it. Give baby a happy Christmas.
There you go.
Take
Sing
care
to
of
your
yourself.
Baby in French.
Love it. We'll take a quick break. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC.